Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 83, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond, and I want to add this, how we must change because of the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and today we're actually going to go into a deep dive for you. We're going to go back into our archives, but we invite you again to study and to re-engage with this study, which was episode 25. So before we get started, of course, we'll go into the prayer that Rabbi led on this episode.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you and we glorify you. We submit this day to you. We thank you for the feast that we've celebrated as well. And thank you for Sukkot, Father. We lift you up and we just say, Father, forgive us for our sins, our iniquities, and transgressions. And we choose, Father God, we choose to forgive those who have sinned, caused iniquity and transgression against us. Father, we thank you that you have given us the anointing to forgive ourselves and also our forefathers on both sides of our family. We thank you, Father God, that you appropriate the anointing, the flow, and the blessing that goes down over 1,000 generations. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask that you give us an understanding and a true revelation of who and what we are to do with the fruit of the Spirit during these perilous times. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, so that we can begin to walk in the fullness of who and what you called us to be in this season. It's our prayer. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Andre, I'll pass it back to you and Pastor Doug.
All right, and here's Pastor Doug with our before Torah study blessing.
Ruach Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu B'Mitzvotav Yitzchanu La'asot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen. So right now, as we get into our recap, I just want to remind everyone that we are continuing our discussion, as I mentioned earlier, on the fruit of the Spirit. And we started off, actually, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we actually started off with patience. And we looked at Revelations chapter 14, verse 12, talking about the necessity for the patience and some scriptures say endurance of the saints. And then we recapped going back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, going back through the full list of the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we covered love, and the week before actually as well, we covered love. And then we covered joy. And then we got into joy starting with James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And one of the questions we ask, are we supposed to be joyful in temptation? Because in James it says, you know, count it all joy when you go through various trials. And what we realize, it's not the struggle or the circumstances that you're joyful in, but rather knowing that the strength of the Lord is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength in the midst of the trial. The joy is not going through the struggle, but knowing that in going through, we will have the victory. And we have to examine, literally, where is my heart focused, where is my mind focused, and redirect that to the purposes and the plans that God has for you, knowing that he will ultimately bring the victory. We have to keep things in perspective. That's one of the key points under joy. Keep things in perspective. We have to know that reward or imminent victory is our focus rather than the battle, as I was just mentioning. And at times when we have to keep perspective, if we're on keeping it on the right thing, but there are times when we have to change perspective. We gave, Rabbi did an excellent job giving the example of how David, even when his men were ready to basically lead a mutiny against him, he encouraged himself. And I'm reminded of the scripture, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in Yah. So you have to change your perspective. Joy is necessary for strength. But one of the questions we asked is, how do we use it? How do we apply that joy? When we begin to encourage ourselves, we are encouraging ourselves by His Word, according to the words of Yah. And one of the things that we said that would be an excellent manner and a tool is to say those things out loud. There's something about hearing your own voice and making a declaration that begins to build your soul up, and your not just your body, your mind, your heart, soul, mind, and strength, all of who you are, your soul, begins to believe it. And so saying it out loud is a crucial tool for encouraging yourself. Joy strengthens you in the areas of weakness. When you're weak, this is where the scripture refers to, when we are weak, He is strong. And then that's only He is strong when He's able to, when we allow Him to bring the joy in the areas that we need, to bring the fruit that we need in that area. One of the more somber notes we talked about is just how in past times were the disciples and were the followers of Yeshua, how were they able to have the proper mindset? We talked about martyrs in time past. And we went to Colossians chapter 3, and we talked about how did they have the appropriate mindset? What mindset did they have? And a lot of this was a summation of what we had just said earlier. They were able to put their trust in God and have the appropriate perspective. We began to transition into discussion of peace, and that's where we'll continue today. And peace has a very wide and broad understanding. And we need to keep our peace. And the scripture tells us that perfect peace have they whose minds are stayed on Him. But also He will keep us in peace, and it surpasses our understanding when we guard our heart and our mind in the sight of Yeshua. There is a stillness that peace provides, and that is what we need to continue to pursue as we pursue our relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit and His Son. So, Rabbi, I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you to continue our conversation today.
Amen and amen. And as you were sharing that, one of the things that came to my mind that I know the Father wants to really begin to prepare the saints. The saints need to be prepared because the fruit of the Spirit and the elements of the fruit are going to be taken away from the world. If the fruit and the elements of the fruit are not taken away from the world, Pastor Andre, the great tribulation cannot come. Now, I'm going to say that again because that's a heavy. All right. In order for the great tribulation to come, the peace that we're getting ready to really dive into again and really go into a little bit more in detail, that peace has to be taken away from the world. Now, I know that sounds kind of barbaric in a sense, but it's imperative that we understand, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 6 and read verse 3 and verse 4. Because one of the things that we have to understand is the Father understands it, and the Son is in compliance with it. The Father understands that you can't have peace, His peace in the world, and His wrath or tribulation at the same time. So what the Father has done is He's allowed the Son to open up the seal. And when we begin to look at one of the particular seals here, you'll see that in this particular opening of the seal, which the Lamb, our spiritual husband, Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, opened, peace is immediately taken away from the world. And see, this is necessary in order for the Great Tribulation to become a reality. If the manifestation of peace, and we'll get into some of the definitions that we've already talked about, but if the manifestation of peace is bringing wholeness, you can't have wholeness and great tribulation at the same time. Because the moment that you have great tribulation, then all you have to do is to begin to walk in the preparation of God's peace, and he restores whatever is dealt with in the tribulation period. So the tribulation period, just like the storm, when Yeshua told his disciples that we were going to go across the Galilee to the other side, and the storms and the wind was raging so much to where the boat was sinking, Yeshua just said, peace. Be still. He restored the atmospheric weather, the inclement weather. He restored it back to its peaceful state. So you can't have a great tribulation to be successful in what it is mandated by God to do, and also have the fruit of the Spirit of peace manifesting. Pastor Andre, if you could read that for us.
Sure. This is Revelation chapter 6, starting with verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast come and see, say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword.
So the person that is opening the seals here, Pastor Andre, is who?
This is Jesus, Yahushua, the Son of God.
That's right. That's right. And he's the one that is mandating this based upon what the Father has told him to do. And in doing so, peace, it is very explicit here. It's very specific as well.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is taken from the earth. Well, peace we know is the fruit of the Spirit. So one of the things that we've got to make sure that we understand, that even in the scriptures it says that that the love of many will wax cold. Why? Because the love, peace, the love, you know, when I say peace, I'm not speaking of the peace of God, but the love portion or element of the fruit is also taken away. So you see that the Father is going to allow the fruit of the Spirit to diminish on the earth. It has to. If it does not, then there will be no tribulation and no wrath of God. Now, I want to, before we dive into this and really get deep into this, Pastor Andre, I want to make sure that people are beginning to understand this concept, because I know it's foreign, I know it's new to some of you, and I know you're looking at it like, yeah, but there's no buts here. There's no gilly-goating here. The scriptures are very clear. The Father has to have the tribulation happen, and within that tribulation, especially at the end of the tribulation, the wrath of God has to manifest on those who walk in disobedience and those who conduct themselves in a wicked and evil manner. So what that means to you, what it means to me, is that as we get closer to the Great Tribulation, the elements and the ingredients, if you will, of the fruit of the Spirit are going to diminish. But it should also tell you and I that the fruit of the Spirit is our protection. It's our protection. So this peace portion that we're getting ready to dive into is essential for us to make sure that we understand, so that as the tribulation begins to crescendo, if you will, all right, the peace of Yah that's upon us and appropriated to us will keep our hearts and minds, as the scripture says, so that we won't faint in heart when we see the tribulation period begin to start. Why? Because we have the peace of Yah. We have the element of Yah that makes everything whole. And I'm going to kind of digress here and just allow Pastor Andre for you to just kind of commentate a little bit with this before we start to really break down into the word peace and the Hebrew portion of it and things of that nature.
You know, I just had a little epiphany here just now. Basically, what we're seeing here is as we get closer to the Great Tribulation, as we see the fruit of the Spirit decrease, because it even says that the Holy Spirit is what holds or keeps the Antichrist and his agenda at bay. But as we see the fruit decrease, it should be increasing in us. And one of the real aha moments I had is I said, this whole situation we've been through this year has been kind of a quiz, if you will, to see how are we doing with the fruit of the Spirit. Because COVID-19 has exposed in our hearts whether or not we truly have peace. Because just as you said, it's a perfect peace have they whose minds are stayed on him. But I am not seeing a lot of peace in the world. And, you know, there have been times throughout this whole situation that even my own peace has been tested. So I'm realizing Yah has allowed this situation for us to really figure out how are we doing with the fruit of the Spirit as we get closer.
Amen. Amen. And I hope that everyone is understanding that. Because when you hold on to something of the world, your peace is going to be jeopardized. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything, you know, and you just put your hands up and say, you know, what does it matter? Okay. Mm-hmm. What we have to understand is what we were talking about before in the recap perspective. Your joy stays because of your perspective. And as I walk in the proper perspective, my peace also comes to me and begins to manifest what is necessary pertaining to whatever my needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to understand that particular piece. Okay? No pun intended there. But let's go in and let's go ahead and begin to dissect a little bit more from the Hebraic side, from the Hebrew side. And Pastor Andre, if you could give us the Hebrew letters for shalom.
Sure.
Because shalom, of course, is that aspect of the Hebrew. And then we'll begin to go ahead and dual dialogue on the meanings and the understandings of that, what it means from a Hebraic perspective. Go ahead, sir.
All right. So when we're looking at the Hebrew word, if you have a concordance or if you're able to look it up online, the letters are going to be starting from right to left. The first letter is Shin. Shin is the first letter which gives us the sh sound. And then we have Lamed, the L sound. And then we have what's called a Cholim Vav. Cholim Vav. And that's going to be our O sound, followed by a Mem. So we have Shin, Lamed, Cholim Vav, Mem.
Amen. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper for those of you that have had some Hebrew in your past time period. But one of the things I want to make sure that we cover and we clarify, and it's important to clarify it because as we clarify it, it's going to make more sense to you, I pray. The Hebrew has a lot of wonderful benefits. It really does. But the one that I want to focus on, the one I want you to focus on, the one that is congruent with your spiritual survival during this time of turmoil, that particular one is the one I want to focus on today. And that is that the way the Father orchestrated the Hebrew, and I'm talking about the Paleo Hebrew, I'm talking about the ancient Hebrew, the way he orchestrated it was in such a way to where the letters that were just given to you, that comprised of the word, the letters have meanings in and of themselves. Each letter has a meaning. And when you begin to collect those letters and their meanings together, then what you see is the fact that the Father literally gives you the definition and the instructions of how he wants certain things done based upon the understanding of the letters and their meanings of the Hebrew when he speaks to you. I'd often wondered, why is it that the Father doesn't say very much to me in English? Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't speak to me, because he does. But it just seems like it's a very short sentence or word or phrase. As I began to embrace my Hebraic roots, the Father quickly began to reveal to me why this is. And the reason for that is because when you take what he speaks to you in a different language and you go ahead and translate that into the Hebrew words, then go back and study those letters. I mean, there is an exhaustive amount of information that he gives you with instructions in just one sentence or one word. And we're going to show you within this particular word. Because he tells you how, or explains to you and me, how to walk in shalom. How to walk in this peace where nothing's broken and nothing's missing. Because you, I know I do, but we all need a pattern of understanding how to do this. The scriptures say, you know, with all of your getting, get an understanding. Well, the understanding of the word is deeply rooted in the letters and the meanings of that particular word. Okay? So as we get ready to break down the actual meanings of the letters is where we're going to go, Pastor Andre. So I'm just preparing you for that when we go to that. Understand that it begins to give me and give you an understanding of how to not just appropriate peace, okay, that's important, but how to maintain peace. It's one thing to get it, to catch it, to receive it, and to begin to apply it. But then we need to know how to maintain it, how to keep it flowing throughout the tribulation period until the rapture happens. We have to know that, okay? Because remember, we read Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. And in that, it says, this is the patience, the forbearance, the endurance. Well, a part of that, and of course that endurance, forbearance, is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's an ingredient. But along with that ingredient, we apply the peace, the shalom. And how we apply it is what we're trying to understand. How do we appropriate it and how do we apply it? So, sheen. Pastor Andre, what do you have for sheen as far as symbolic, pictorial meaning and understanding of that? Because we're going to use this in encapsulating a meso understanding and then a macro understanding of what the Father is saying. See, because in the macro, we know that the Father is changing our whole paradigm. Like Pastor Andre already said, COVID-19 changed everybody's paradigm. No, I'm not saying that the Father mandated COVID-19. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he is using it to appropriate his macro agenda. So sheen, I know that in sheen there's a picture of two front teeth, okay, as far as a pictorial meaning. But there's some deeper meaning pertaining to sheen that we want to discuss now, and we'll dialogue back and forth if that's okay with you, Pastor Andre, pertaining to sheen. Go ahead.
Yes, so as Rabbi mentioned, the ancient picture is two front teeth, and if you can imagine just thinking simply about your two front teeth. One of the definitions is that it's sharp. It's used to press. And we also have this understanding going back through Hebrew with Shin being a letter representing the might of God, coming from Shaddai. So here you have this idea of it being sharp, two front teeth pressing, but also has strength and might associated with it. If you can imagine trying to eat several foods without your two front teeth, you're helpless. So it's a mighty tool, if you will, that's used to press, and it's used to eat and cut. So those are kind of the full spectrum of understandings you can get from Shin.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to just give out a few others that I've noticed through my studies, and that is, Shin is the ratification of God. In other words, it's the signature, the Father's signature, his approval, if you will, on something. It's his approval on something. Okay? The Wadis in Jerusalem, they make a perfect Shin, you know. So that particular Holy Land is something that Father has signed his signature. When you do a topographical look at Jerusalem and you draw a line through the Wadis, it makes the letter Shin. It is his signature, his approval. Now, keep this in mind, everybody that's listening, because we're going to come back to this when we go through all of these particular letters, okay? We're going to come back to it. So I just want to make sure that you've got that. So that Shin is the Father's, not the Son's approval. It's the Father's approval. It's the Father's ratification. It's the Father's signature, okay? All right, so then the next one we're going to be discussing is Lamed, all right? Lamed, we talked about Lamed. So with Lamed, what is the pictorial that you have and some of the meanings of Lamed, Pastor Andre?
Sure. So with Lamed, what's beautiful, the picture is literally a shepherd's staff. And as soon as you see that, for me, it brings up pictures of a good shepherd. But also, it has the root for the word to teach. So there's this aspect of teaching or giving direction. And when we look at the function of the letter in the language, it often indicates the direction that you're going or to or towards something. So shepherd's staff was used to correct and guide and teach, and we can also put in here to give direction. What are your thoughts, Rabbi?
Amen. I totally agree with what you're saying. I just want to extend it just a little bit more, and that is that shepherd's staff. Now, remember, the shepherd, and I often, whenever I look at this letter, I often am reminded by the Lord that this good shepherd is Yeshua, okay? So he's the pictorial example of Lamed. But the other thing that I'm reminded of is that the shepherd staff, this particular staff that even David talks about, King David talks about in Psalms 23, is the perfect example of the manifestation and the function of the Holy Spirit. There are certain times that the Holy Spirit will prod you or prod me into doing something that is the will of the Father. And then there are times when the Holy Spirit will restrict a person, like with Paul. He was restricted from going into Asia Minor for a time because it wasn't that time or season for them to receive that particular word at that time. So the Holy Spirit restricted him. It hindered him. Pastor Andre talked about the Holy Spirit hindering the devil or hindering Satan and his demonic desires upon our lives and upon the lives upon the world. Okay? So the staff itself is an excellent representation of the function of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that one. And we're now going to go into kolam vav. So we're going to be focusing more on the vav portion. And I'll pass it to Pastor Andre again.
Okay, so in the ancient cultures, they dwelt in tents for a good period of time. And so this represents a tent peg, which literally was using to secure, fasten, or add. When you look at the function of the tent peg, you can also see the nail or aspect of a nail used to combine or add something together. And then in the grammar, the usage of the letter itself, it's a conjunction. So it adds two thoughts together. But when you look at the tent peg, its purpose is to keep the tent secure. And when you also look at the picture of a nail, it's fastening something so that it doesn't move. And you can look at that as far as even what the nails in Messiah's hands as he took that punishment on the cross. But, this is a very powerful letter, and it's often used to connect things together.
Amen. And I love how you said it's a conjunction, you know, because I'm thinking of it's not Sesame Street, but it talks about conjunction, junction, what's your function? It will get you there if you're very careful, okay? Schoolhouse Rock is what it is. There you go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anyway, having a moment there. this conjunction is very important. The statement of the word conjunction is very important. Also, vav secures, like it was already stated, but it secures things from the heavenly down to earth. It's the transportal, if you will. It carries the blessing and the of the Lord to its appropriate assignment here on earth. So if you begin to look at Sheen being the Father's approval, and then you look at Lamet being Yeshua's teaching, like you said, guiding, instructing by way of the staff, okay, how that we can vav, in other words, how we can appropriate, the actual appropriation word would be vav, how we can actually attain, how we can get it from because we know that there are blessings in heavenly places. But we're wanting and needing those blessings that are in heavenly places to manifest here and now, especially during the perilous time. So this vav is essential for us to be able to, excuse the pun, nail it. We've got to make sure that we grasp it and that we apply it properly. Because as we apply it, then the next letter will not be something that we will ever be worried about, because it will be the end result of the other letters, and that is the letter Mem. So, Pastor Andre, if you can give us a good Hebraic understanding of the letter Mem.
Sure, thank you. So the letter Mem, it has a real connection with water. And with it, if you can imagine water not just in a glass but in a sea, you can imagine the strength, so there's mighty connected with this one as well, but also it has chaos, if you can imagine a rolling sea. So strong water, mighty chaos, but also connects with blood. And there's a euphemism in the ancient Hebrew as blood being like the water in the body, the water in the veins. So with it, you have this picture of what could be chaotic. But what we see now here with this word is it's being tamed because of especially that vav, which is connecting to it. It's being tamed. And so everything then is in order. And Rabbi, the picture that comes to my mind, you mentioned earlier, is when Yeshua said, "Peace be still," to the storm when he was on the sea. But going back to Mem, water is both a powerful and soft thing at the same time. And so it's either we're looking for which one is it in this case. But in this case here, it's becoming, if you can imagine, a peaceful, placid sea or a lake, a smooth lake, peaceful waters is what we can see out of this.
Amen. And one of the other aspects, because remember, Pastor Andre said it the picture, the pictorial here is water, but the meaning also depicts chaos, the word mighty, and then blood. And all of us who have named the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, as our Savior, understands that the blood of Yeshua, okay, in this particular case, is mighty to save us from any and all chaotic assignments of the enemy. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to keep you and I from the noise and pestilence of the enemy. He is mighty and great in his ability to protect and to keep and restore. Because remember, peace comes to bring restoration. Peace comes to bring back a wholeness, a fullness, a completeness. We've talked about on this broadcast, we've talked about the 10 lepers, and then one of them coming back, and that one that came back to show gratification and thankfulness, he received the peace of God. He received the wholeness, nothing broken, nothing missing in his life, so that just the healing in and of itself and by itself would not be a situation where it would just continually happen, a repetitive virtue that happens. Why? Because the underlying problem is not dealt with. So in this letter, shalom, that underlining problem, not just the healing, but the underlining problem that causes brokenness in your life, that underlining problem has been completely made whole. This is what we need, and this is what we want in this time and hour of the perilous times that we're getting ready to face. We need to begin to understand the importance of this. Now, we're going to go back through this again, and I'm just going to give you a spiritual insight, if you will, of the word shalom. Now, we've talked about sheen. Now, what is God's approval? And I'm just rhetorically going to answer all of these questions. What is God's approval? Well, God's approval for you and I is his word. And it's not just his logos or his dabar, but it's his rhema, okay? It's the word that he speaks to you pertaining to a situation or circumstance. When God speaks to you pertaining to a situation and circumstance, when you ask him, when you call upon him, that particular word that he spoke to you is the beginning process of manifesting the peace of God in your situation. Now, remember, you don't need peace when you already have wholeness. I know that sounds elementary, but I need to say that again. The peace of God comes when there is brokenness and there is a lack of wholeness. That's when the peace of God comes. So the Father will give you a word about a situation or circumstance. That situation or circumstance calls out for the peace of God to manifest. It calls out. With every problem, there's a word from the Lord. Whenever problem that you have or that you face today, you must know and understand that there is a word from the Lord pertaining to the peaceful restoration pertaining to that problem, pertaining to that word. If the Father lays up new mercies every day, those new mercies have to be appropriated. There's a pattern. There's a there's a logical, spiritual, logical protocol, way in which you and I obtain those new mercies. Shalom has within it a process, a protocol. First, the Father ratifies his word in your life and in my life. He tells me, this is what you need to do. That's Sheen. Then after that, after he told you, now he's told you what you needed to do, then Yeshua, Lamed, teaches you how it needs to be done. It gives you the understanding of what was told to you. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I hear God speak to me, I need to get an understanding of what he means. Well, Yeshua is that understanding. Yeshua came to earth to bring peace to the earth. He became the Lamed of Shalom. He showed us how to walk Torah. Torah is the word of the Lord, but he showed us how to walk Torah more perfectly. He gave us the example of exactly what we ought to be doing. That's Lamed. Then from there you have that Kolavav, or the Vav, okay? Yeshua, going back to what Pastor Andre said, he nailed the curse and the punishment of that particular curse to himself. When we are submitting and seeing something that, or desiring something of Yah, and then the Spirit of the living God and Yeshua begins to guide us into how to operate and to begin to walk in the fullness of that deliverance for our lives. As that begins to happen, okay, keep in mind that there is a nailing of the sacrifice. And Pastor Andre, I'm not sure if we're going to have time to go into detail with all this, but we're going to try our very best. If you can go to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, and I want verse 10 is what I believe I'm looking for. Isaiah 53,
okay.
And verse 10. Mm-hmm. It's 10 through 12, but I think verse 10 is what I'm looking. Can you just kind of read a little bit of that to make sure I'm where I need to be?
Sure. And the rich from the King James says here, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief.
Yep. That's it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, this is giving you, and I'm going to have you read it, but this is showing you how the Vav works. See, because once we have petitioned the Lord, when I say the Lord, I want to make sure that everybody understands what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus or Yeshua. I'm talking about the Father. Because remember, the Father gives the word. The Father has to be pleased. Now, when it says it pleased the Father to bruise him, when it pleased the Father to bruise Yeshua, now he's doing this on our account. This is the Vav. Okay? The Vav is there because we have walked in disobedience. The reason why we need the peace in the first place is because we walked in disobedience in an area of our life. It doesn't matter what it was. The fact that we've opened the avenue for the adversary to steal, come and steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the peace is appropriated against. We need to understand that the Vav here is what the Lord is explaining in Isaiah 53, verse 10. And I'll let you finish this time, and we'll try to break that down.
Okay. Yes, yes, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Okay, there's a tremendous amount of pronouns there that makes it extremely confusing. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to try to put proper nouns where the pronouns are so that it will flow and make sense. All right, so Pastor Andre, go ahead and we'll do it phrase by phrase, okay?
Okay, sure. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
All right, stop there. So what we would say is it pleased the Father to bruise Yeshua, to bruise the Son. Okay, next phrase.
Okay. He hath put him to grief.
All right, the he here is the Father again. And he put who to grief? He put the Son to grief through the cross and the Gethsemane experience. Okay, go ahead.
And then it says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin.
All right. Now, when does that grief manifest? The grief manifests when you and I make Yeshua's soul. Because remember, Yeshua went and died on the cross, and his soul, not his spirit, not his body went back to the dust. Spirit went back to God. Because remember, on the cross, he gave his spirit, the spirit that was in him that gave him life, he gave it back to God while he was on the cross. Okay? So the only thing that's left is his soul. And his soul was the offering for sin. His soul had to replace our soul. Okay? Because our soul, because of sin, iniquity and transgression, our soul was destined for hell. So that's why his soul had to go to hell. Okay, continue.
It says, he shall see his seed.
Okay, he here again is the Father. So when I appropriate Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection in my prayers and in my confession and proclamation to the Lord, to the Father, when I say the Lord there, then all of this happens. He remembers what had happened on the cross, all right? Not that he forgot, but he appropriates what has happened, is probably a better way of saying it. He appropriates what happened on the cross to me based upon what I'm asking of him, being the Father. Okay? All right. Read that again, because I want to get the other pronoun there.
Okay. Sure. It says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days.
He shall see his seed. His seed is Yeshua. Okay? Mm-hmm. Singular seed, not plural seed here. So the Father will see. In other words, he'll recognize and he'll appropriate the blood of Yeshua upon the situation you and I are petitioning him for. Okay, then it says, he shall prolong his days. He who? He the Father. The Father is going to prolong whose days? Well, he's definitely not going to prolong Yeshua's days. Why? Because Yeshua is already in heaven. Yeshua is already at the right of metaphorically speaking, Yeshua is already at the right hand of the Father in glory and majesty. His days does not need to be prolonged. But whose days does? Mine and yours. Our days need to be prolonged here on the earth. Okay, continue.
Okay. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
The pleasure of the Father will prosper, not in Yeshua's hands, because his hands are already prosperous, because he's in heaven. Our hands need to be prosperous, and that this is this prosperity is in every way, not just financial, but in every manner. This prosperity is a part of the definition of shalom, where nothing is broken and nothing's missing. You're walking in the proper prosperity understanding. Okay? Now, is that all that scripture, or is there more?
That was all of verse 10.
Okay, good. We'll stop there at verse 10 and jump back into what we were sharing. I'm hoping, as we are beginning to give you a basic understanding and a Hebraic outline of shalom, that it's beginning to make sense. This is why the Hebrew is so important, especially the Paleo Hebrew, because what it does is it gives you and I a good lexical, syntactical understanding. Okay? Lexical meaning dictionary, meaning. If I don't know or understand the meaning of the word, then how in the world can I execute it? How can I fulfill what the Father is asking of me? I don't have anyone to teach me. Remember, the eunuch was reading Isaiah, and Philip was led by the Spirit to him, and Philip asked him the question, do you understand what you're reading? And he's like, how can I? Because no one is here to explain. In other words, I don't have a lamed in the word shalom. I've got the word. I've got the sheen. Okay, the sheen is the word. I've got it. I'm reading this word. But I don't have a lamed. I don't have someone to teach me and to begin to give me an understanding of how to apply this. And then Philip began to what? He began to lamed him. He began to teach him. He began to instruct him by the power of the Spirit. So the staff began to move and flow through Philip. And I'm talking about Acts chapter 8. Okay? I'm just showing you how shalom works here. All right. So then after that happened, then it was up to the eunuch. And the eunuch sees water, because remember, Philip preaches Yeshua. He preaches Jesus to him at that part. So that means the water baptism was a part of when they used to preach the gospel. So the eunuch stops him and says, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Well, he had to have gotten that verbiage and that understanding from Philip's teaching, because Philip lamed him. He began to instruct and break it down so that he could apply it, so that he could vav. So now the eunuch is ready for vav. He's ready for the colon vav. He's like, what hinders from me from being vavved? And he lets him know, he being Philip, lets him know that he has to have a salvation experience first. He has to accept Yeshua as a savior. He has to acknowledge that he needs a savior and then accept him, which he did. So Philip told him to stop the chariot, because now it's time to mend. It's time to wash all the chaos of the life and the sin, iniquity, and transgression that was on the eunuch and in the eunuch, to wash it, cleanse, purify. So he, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ, he mikvahed him, he baptized him. Shalom works in these types of patterns. Sheen, lamed, colon vav, mem. And we are out of time. So I'm going to pass it to you, Pastor Andre, to give individuals more information and to commentate as you feel that.
All right. Rabbi, that was excellent. As far as, especially was appreciating the picture of Philip teaching by the Spirit to provide what the eunuch was missing. And that goes back to what we've been discussing with the fruit, even, where the fruit is providing what where we're lacking, what we're needing, if we're not whole. And again, I really appreciate the perspective, Rabbi, of healing versus wholeness. And what we're talking about now is how can we be whole? How can we truly manifest the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit so that we can truly be at peace, is what we're talking about today. But there's so many more that we'll get to. So thank you for listening today. I hope that you guys enjoyed our discussion, enjoyed what Rabbi was sharing today. And we just thank you for being a part of what we're doing here. And we're glad that you're taking time to study the Word of Yah as well. We encourage you to go back and to review these things, to study them as Bereans, see if these things are true. And if they are true, then work with us as we apply them as well to our lives. As a reminder, this is a broadcast and outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem. If you have any questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or if you'd simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, you can email us at office@bethhashem.org. You can find out more about us on our website, www.bethhashem.org. And that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you want to take your understanding, especially the things we discussed today, and getting into the Paleo Hebrew and the Hebraic roots of our faith, you can learn more about our college, Zakkai University of Learning, which offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And you can learn more at courses.bethhashem.org. Well, finally, if you'd like to contribute and be a blessing to this ministry, if you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, they can be paid online via Cash App, via cashapp.com/Beth Hashem. Or you can mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And of course, as always, we thank those who have generously given and participated in this ministry. So thank you. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close with the After Torah blessing, and then we'll have the Aaronic benediction, and then have Rabbi close with final thoughts and our prayer. So at this time, we'll go back to Pastor Doug for our After Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chayei olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and recite the Aaronic benediction, which is taken out of Numbers chapter 6, starting with verse 24. I'm going to recite it in Hebrew, and then we'll recite it in English.
Yivarechecha Yehuah Ve'yishmerecha Ya'ir Yehuah Panavelecha V'chunecha Yisai Yehuah Anavalecha Ve'asem lecha Shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we thank you. We thank you for understanding your peace, for understanding your shalom, understanding your manner of appropriating, receiving, and making everything whole. We do desire to be whole, not just healed, not just satisfied, but we desire all that you have so that we can gratify you, so that we can exalt you, so that we can just stay within your presence and within your courts so that we can be who you have called us to be here on this earth. We ask that you continue to allow us to have Philip-type shalom experiences, not just for ourselves, Father God, But this day, for those who need your peace, there are people that are crying out, that are desperate for your peace. Father, we ask that you allow us to be instruments and tools to be used to appropriate your peace, so that nothing is broken or missing. Not just salvation or healing or deliverance, but in every aspect, whatever the necessary need, that you give us the ability to appropriate your fullness, so that whosoever is complete and completed by and in you. In Yahushua's name we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.